Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. What a fabulous show we have planned for you today. You know, this is really so interesting. I was just saying to Seth before we get on, you know, Seth has been my producer on this network for, wow, a really long time. And I noticed that there were a couple of shows we did where Seth wasn't there. And I said to myself, oh my gosh, I wonder where Seth is. I asked how Seth was doing. And, you know, there's this period that we all go through when there is a form of regularity in our lives and the friendships we make, and then something changes. And sometimes our minds take over. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes we get a feeling inside ourselves that we just don't even understand what it's all about. So when Seth was there today to do this show, along with my incredibly special guest, Catherine G. Lucas, here's the deal. I was so glad to hear his voice. You know, this is one of these times. Here's what I'd love to say about this before, and I'll introduce Catherine to you. You know, it's always fascinated me, that intro by John DeMartini when he says this is one of the most transformative shows. You know why this is a transformative show? Because I get to have conversations with people that are doing epically transformative work in the world. And I am never shocked about the message that comes to the table each week or each day, in my case, about something that all of us need to hear. This is the case tonight. Spiritual emergency. What you need to know with this amazing woman, Catherine Lucas, joining me here today, the author of In Case of Spiritual Emergency, Moving Successfully Through Your Awakening. Well, this is really kind of cool. I love that she's showing up right now to have this conversation with all of us, you know, myself including. And as I went in and I read her book and I looked at what the key features of spiritual emergency are, it was almost like I had a checklist. And hopefully we'll go down this list with her and we can each check it off. And I thought, I wonder what this means if you kind of have 70% of these spiritual emergency features checked off. Does that mean we're on the verge of an awakening? What does that mean? Well, today we're going to share with you what spiritual emergency is. What does it look like? What does it feel like? And why? Why is it that Catherine Lucas has decided to take this conversation on? Catherine, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much. And that's a wonderful introduction. It's a real pleasure.
I love this because, you know, I look at my life and, you know, like many people, I've had a lot of challenges along the way and I've learned from every one of them. Do you know, today on the show, earlier today on the show, I had a half hour, someone on the show canceled, and I had this half hour. So what I decided to do was take a song that's in our pop culture now. I don't know if Seth is going to be able to find it or not, but the song that I picked was by Kelly Clarkson, and I did a whole half hour on this topic. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I thought, oh, I can't wait to talk with you about this, because let me ask you this question. In the state of spiritual emergency, doesn't it feel like something's dying?
Yes, it does, very much so. And in fact, you know, this is one of the biggest fears that people have is they actually believe that they are physically going to die sometimes, because what happens is that, you know, we're having to let go of an awful lot. And the ego feels very threatened when we go through spiritual awakening, you know, our spiritual development. And these are particular moments, okay? But the ego feels very threatened and feels it's going to be extinguished. And that's where this fear of dying comes from.
You know, let me ask you a question that I've asked just about everyone I've ever had on the show. It was one of the first questions that came to me. I started doing this in 2003, very much by accident, but not really. I dialed a wrong phone number. And one of the first questions that I had asked my very first guest was this one. You know, Catherine, given what you're doing, given you're traveling the world, given you're an incredible author, have an incredible platform, what are some of the challenges, what are some of the obstacles that you personally had to overcome to bring you to this very moment?
Well, I've been through spiritual emergence and emergence myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've had some very major challenges to overcome. I mean, when I was 20, I spent a month in a psychiatric hospital. And this was really the beginning of the process for me. But nobody around me, and myself included, had any sense that this was, you know, that this had potential for healing and growth. You know, the mental health system really tends to pathologize, to label these experiences as illness. So that was my first major challenge, because, you know, ending up in a psychiatric hospital is in itself enormously traumatic.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And then I had heavy duty medication, you know, that I was on for a year. I lost a year of my life. And also, you know, I then had to kind of rebuild my life, really. And then, you know, I guess it was 20 years later when I went through, I was able to kind of come back to the process, because it had been abruptly interrupted by ending up in hospital. But actually, what needs to happen is that we need to be able to move through these experiences to a place of getting some completion and integration. So fortunately, some 20 years later, I was able to kind of come back to it, and I was in crisis again, and it was terrifying. And it was also, I have to say, you know, a beautiful, blissful experience. This is the thing about spiritual emergency, that, you know, that it really holds all of the extremes. And it gives you a glimpse of awakening. You know, it really set me on my path of knowing what I was looking for on my spiritual journey. So I'm really very grateful, but it's, you know, it's been hugely challenging. These are not easy things to move through.
Well, you know, I wasn't joking when I said that. I wasn't joking when I said, first of all, I got through the introduction of your book, and then I went to right away, and I forget the chapter now that it was in, where you describe what spiritual emergency looks like. And I thought, we've got to start the show. We've got to talk about this a little bit, because sometimes, you know, folks think they're the, you know, like they're the only people. It's like, I'm the only one experiencing this. I'm the only one having this heartbreak. I'm the only one having financial difficulties, right? I'm the only one where my body doesn't serve me any longer. And sometimes we think that from these experiences, there's something wrong with us. But what the way that you captured this is so beautiful, so brilliant, and so hopeful. I mean, even in the words of the great teachers, Jesus, Buddha, the way that you've captured this allows us to pull ourselves up. And I wanted you and I to talk about spiritual emergency, what some of the characteristics are, so people don't feel they're alone.
Yeah. And I can certainly go through some of the key characteristics. Mm-hmm. The key features. And I, you know, I think that's very important, Pat, that point that you've touched on, because people do feel very alone with it. They can feel really isolated. especially if, you know, because usually we're not able to cope on an everyday level. And so, you know, work becomes impossible. So that adds to our sense of isolation. Maybe family and friends don't really understand what we're going through. So that, that can create a sense of isolation. And you know, this is where the work of the Spiritual Emergence Network, and in the UK, we have the Spiritual Crisis Network that I set up. And these really help to break through that sense of isolation so that people can know that actually a lot of other people have been through this and they've come through it fine. You know, this is my message of hope, that actually a lot of people, an awful lot of people have been through this, and actually I haven't come across a single person who regrets going through it. So I'm saying that now when, you know, I'm just about to go through some of the features and people can be, you know, maybe a little bit horrified, a little bit shocked. And so I really want to stress that positive message that, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity, despite the fact that it does bring some dangers, some very real dangers. And that's why it's so important that we have an awareness, that everybody has an awareness of spiritual emergence and emergency because of the dangers.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'll just say a little bit about some of those dangers and some of the opportunity, and then I'll go into the
I think it's important, and I want to share something with you because my heart goes out to you, you know, about your experience. When I was 6 years old, my mother was committed to, in New York City, a mental hospital. At the time, Bellevue was known for its psychiatric ward. And, you know, when I was young, 6 years old, my mother was committed. When I was 7 years old, my mother finally, in her second attempt, committed suicide and lit the house on fire. And so I am so deeply touched by how you have invited all of the people, everyone listening here, to what you're about to say. Because sometimes when we don't have the kind of platform or venue or information that you provide, we do think we're going crazy, you see?
Yeah. And Pat, you know, the mental health system does fail. Unfortunately, you know, this is why it's so important to get this information out there, because the mental health system, unfortunately, fails people sometimes, you know. You know, I don't know the details of what your mother was going through, but the dark night of the soul is very much associated with depression, and really is one of the most dangerous types of spiritual emergence and emergency because of the danger of suicide. And, you know, our mental health system, there was an American woman called Marie Moore, actually, who at a firing range, this is a couple of years ago now in Florida, she shot first her son and then herself at point blank range, and they both died. And what she had been going through, you know, she had been tormented by visions. Now, these visions, if you like, this is the kind of thing that the mental health system would see as hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that's all they would really do with that, is just kind of label it as hallucinations and kind of medicate and see it as maybe psychosis, schizophrenia, depression, you know, whatever. In actual fact, when you look at the detail of what Marie Moore was talking about, she was tormented by visions of being burnt at the stake, of being gassed. You know, these are very typical of kind of past life, basically past life trauma that needs healing. And so, you know, in a sense, a mental health system that can take on board the spiritual dimension, and in psychology, we talk about transpersonal psychology. So transpersonal psychology is psychology, it's basically transpersonal means beyond the personal. So it's transcendent, it's spiritual. And there's this whole branch of psychology which is transpersonal psychology. And, you know, this is the field that this work, this material on spiritual emergency comes out of. And it's also, if you like, the way forward in terms of responding. We really need our mental health professionals to understand the transpersonal, the spiritual dimension, so that they can meet people wherever they're at with whatever type of therapy they need. So let me just go through some of the features of spiritual emergency. So we're talking about something that for some people will impact on every level of their being. And I certainly relate to this. You know, when I was in crisis in 2003 and in 2006, it was emotional, physical, psychological and spiritual. It was on every level, which is why it's so overwhelming, because it consumes our whole being. So that's one feature typically, although, you know, it can vary a lot from individual to individual. So some people it might be more one than another. But certainly emotionally, we're talking about an absolute roller coaster. So if you think of the highest roller coaster, the fastest roller coaster, and then you imagine kind of experiencing in one moment, you're maybe experiencing a huge love. You know, we're really connecting with divine unconditional love. This can happen in spiritual emergence. So we're connecting with that. You know, we're maybe experiencing peace and bliss and joy. And then within moments, we're tipping over into fear and dread and maybe even terror, abject terror. And then you think of this roller coaster of just how fast and how quickly that can happen. And that's what can be very difficult, is on the one hand, the huge spectrum of emotions that we can experience, but also how quickly we can move from one state to another. So that's on the emotional side, what can happen. That's just one example, if you like. Physically, there can be a whole range of different symptoms, and this can be quite disconcerting for people. It can be quite worrying, frightening. You know, you go to the doctor and the doctor can't really actually explain physically what's happening. So, but to give you an example, one thing that I found quite worrying was that I had this sensation of vibrating in my body. Of kind of like shaking.
Yeah.
Now that can be for a lot of different reasons. You know, it could be fear. It could be that we're releasing some trauma. So that can actually, you know, it can be quite a good sign that it's a little bit like wild animals actually in the wild. When they're releasing trauma, they would naturally shake as a way of releasing it. But the other thing that it can also be when our vibration is being raised by the really powerful spiritual energies that are coming in. So I had this sense, you know, I'd go to bed at night and I would just feel as if I was kind of vibrating, shaking. Once I read that this was quite common and quite typical, I was really able to relax around it. But that, you know, not everybody experiences that. That's just one particular physical symptom. It could be, where the Kundalini energy, this Kundalini energy, the understanding comes just from Indian teachings of the life force energy that can move up through the spine, through the chakras. This can create sensations of burning, of really intense heat in the body. So that's something that some people experience.
Let's talk about one thing that I found really fascinating in looking at these, Catherine. For those of you just tuning in, I just want to mention everybody, Catherine Lucas joining me here today, and you know, she's the author of In Case of Spiritual Emergency, Moving Successfully Through Your Awakening. She's founder of the UK Spiritual Crisis Network. We're going to hear a bit about that as well. One of the things I was really struck by in reading your book and really looking at this is one of the things I think you mentioned, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you mentioned that, you know, also part of one of the things that can happen is have unusual physical pains and sensations and find it impossible to sleep. Right now in this country, if you look at the research out there about pain, and inflammation. It is rising at exponential rates, and rising at exponential rates for the population of mostly women. And I found that kind of interesting because, you know, it's something that I did a show about not too long ago, right? About this level of pain, chronic pain, coming up in different, you know, we've got names for this stuff now. But I just thought to myself, why? Why would these autoimmune or these painful diseases be showing up so predominantly clear for women? And I was reading your book, and I thought, boy, I'd like to hear you chat about that with me.
Yeah, and that could well be related to this process of awakening. You see, Pat, what's happening is that, you know, the process of spiritual awakening is happening globally. You know, there's this huge shift, and I'm sure that your listeners are really familiar with this. There's a lot of talk about it. You know, this huge transformation. And, of course, there's a direct relationship between what's happening globally. So, and you mentioned one trend, you know, this increase in pain, in physical pain and illnesses related to that. So there's this huge direct relationship between what's happening at an individual level and what's happening globally. So each and every one of us is kind of contributing to this global awakening of consciousness. And that's why we really need to understand the process, to understand the relationship between the challenges and this wonderful opportunity that we're being presented with. Because I think, you know, it can be, especially with something like physical pain, you know, we can get so caught up in that that we forget actually the bigger picture, that A, this isn't happening to us alone, like we've already touched on, and B, that, you know, this is part of a much bigger process, and that each one of us is helping and contributing towards. So the pain, you know, and we would work with that. You know, I really advocate mindfulness as a very powerful tool. In fact, you know, I teach mindfulness and I teach a Living Well with Stress program. But there's also like a sister program, which is Living Well with Pain for people that are living with chronic pain. And mindfulness is a fantastic tool for really dealing with any suffering, whatever form that's taking in our lives, whether it's emotional, physical, stress, you know, whatever, because mindfulness helps us to be with our experience as it is, so that rather than pushing it away and resisting it, we're opening as best we can with a lot of compassion for ourselves, but we're opening to our experience and being with it as best we can. And of course, this is very important in spiritual emergence and emergency. You know, we need to be able to go with the flow if we possibly can, rather than just wanting it to stop and not happen, which is the natural, you know, totally understandable response.
Kim, so, yeah, this is really, I mean, there's so many things I want to talk with you about, but before I go ahead and jump ahead, can we just take a minute and let people know how they can get a copy of your book? And also, please let's send people to your website, because you have a phenomenal blog, you know, there are many ways for people to get support. So let's just take a minute and let people know how they can find out more about you and more about the book.
Sure. So there are various words. So my website is just katherinegglucas.com, and the Catherine is spelt with a C. And then there's, in terms of getting hold of the book, you know, that's on Amazon, or people can go to the publisher, fintornpress.com. And specifically, you know, in terms of websites that offer support for people, you know, we have the UK Spiritual Crisis Network. So that's spiritualcrisisnetwork.org.uk. There's the American equivalent based in San Francisco. So that's spiritualemergence.info. So, you know, there's a whole wealth of resources out there. And certainly the book, you know, in my book, In Case of Spiritual Emergency, I've got at the back, there's a big section on resources. So lots of websites, lots of books, Spiritual Emergence Networks, you know, it's kind of all there, including, you know, some places to stay In fact, you know, I would love your listeners to help out, Pat, because at the moment we've done some research in the UK and we found some places. You know, it's quite difficult to find places where people can get the level of support that they need, because they need 24/7 support during the actual peak of the crisis, which, you know, might only be a few days, but people really need a lot of support sometimes. And so I would love your listeners to help out with getting in touch with me through my website, through the blog, of places where people can stay in the States, places that can offer support and a spiritual understanding, and kind of, yeah, that they can really be held and feel safe, but get that spiritual understanding and support, because psychiatric hospitals will keep somebody safe, but they won't necessarily have that spiritual understanding and support.
No, it's really a different system of things. And, you know, I'm so glad you invited everyone to really help with that. You know, I'm very, very fortunate. I live in the state of Washington, but I grew up in New York and for most of my life lived in New Jersey. And, you know, when I moved to the state of Washington, Seattle, I had never really experienced the energies that are here in so many ways. But this is truly, and I'm not saying that, you know, Seattle and Washington are the only place, but truly what's happening here in this state provides those kinds of places and forums for people. You know, there are many, many places, retreats on Whidbey Island, so many places where, you know, the approach to living is holistic. So all of you listening to the show, it'd be very, very helpful if you could chime in and help with this. One of the things, Catherine, I wanted to ask you about is mindfulness. And I have a question that just came in on the instant feedback system as well that's going to help. For those of you listening, most of you know how to send us questions in through instant feedback. The way to do that is go to thedrpatshow.com on the right-hand side, ask your question, or you could go to transformationtalkradio.com, same thing on the right-hand side, just ask your question and we'll get it in here. I know many of you can't call in all the time. The question came up, and it had to do with fear. And I know that in the book you talk about mindfulness and seven ways of helping. One of the things you address is coping with fear. The question that came in from Maureen from, I believe it's Michigan, that's the abbreviation, is this. Hi, Dr. Pat. Hi, Catherine. This is a mind-blowing conversation. Like many people in the United States, in the U.S. right now, we are experiencing some of the trauma or the residual of the past 3-4 years here. We walk around and we live in fear. We're not quite sure how to pull ourselves out of it. Can Catherine please address the issue of fear and faith?
Great. I'm really grateful for that question, because, you know, it's so important. I think a lot of people are living in fear. And this is, you know, Pat, you quite rightly made the connection with mindfulness, because this is how I work, certainly with my own fear and how I help, you know, when I'm teaching mindfulness, how I help people is, you know, What we need to do is basically step back. We need to get just a little bit of space, in just enough space around our fear to be able to watch it and explore it and be interested and curious about it and notice when we're getting hooked into the fear. And this is where the mindfulness can be so helpful, because with mindfulness, we learn to watch our experience. We learn to watch our emotions. We learn to watch our thoughts and not in a disconnected way, but just in a way of kind of getting some space around them and kind of getting some awareness about our feelings and our thoughts, and just seeing what they're doing to us. I can give you an example, Pat, of when I was actually in crisis in 2003. And, you know, the fear was, you know, my levels of fear were really very, very high. And what I was able to do, because I had a mindfulness practice and I'd been meditating for quite a few years, I was able to just to step back just enough to watch how that fear was impacting on my thinking. And what it was doing was really distorting my thinking, so that I was coming up with all sorts of, it was kind of really exaggerating and catastrophe. We talk about catastrophizing, where we kind of imagine the worst, you know, and this is what fear can do. So mindfulness is fantastic for working with fear. And the other thing, of course, that we need when we're going through this is grounding. You know, we really need to be as connected with the earth and with our bodies and with the ground as we can be. I'm just aware that the question was also looking at faith, the relationship between fear and faith. And, you know, for me, you know, I do a lot of these, interviews and public speaking, and, you know, I do it. I read one time, and it really helped me with all this public speaking, was that the word confidence comes from the Latin con fides, which is with faith. Okay, and so basically, for me, it's the faith and the trust in the universe, in God, you know, whatever language people like to use. It's that faith that can give us the confidence, that can give us the courage, and that's I love the fact that word confides, the Latin with faith, you know, that's where the root of the word confidence comes from. So I hope that helps your listener.
Yes, and we're getting a number of questions, Catherine. I guess, you know, the conversation that we had, and especially about, you know, my mom committing suicide, we have a question coming in from Janice in North Carolina. And boy, I'll tell you, the timing of this conversation with you couldn't have been better. Janice, thank you so much for your question. Let me see if I can get it out here. My husband committed suicide. I am struggling. I wish I could feel he is still here in some way. I would love to reach out to him and let him know I miss him. He suffered depression. How can I continue to cope with the roller coaster of my life? How do I go on? I have tried for 1 year. Wow, Janice, thank you so much. My heart so goes out to you. And, you know, the first thing that I want to say is there's so much that's revealed in Catherine's book that I think would be of enormous help. But Catherine, boy, Janice is on a journey, isn't she?
Yes. And Janice, hi, I just want to, just really feel for you. And I, you know, the support, you know, it's so important at these times to get support. I don't know what support you have, Janice, in place, but you know, I really encourage you to reach out for as much support as you can, you know, and whether that's family and friends or whether it's professionals, you know, there's a whole range of support available out there. And sometimes, you know, when we're in a really painful place and we're really struggling, it's quite difficult sometimes to reach out and to ask for that. So I just really encourage you to do that. And if you have, you know, I don't know if you have a spiritual community, because obviously that's also one good source of support. But I would also encourage you to look at mindfulness. You know, mindfulness isn't just a tool about awareness. It's also just as much about compassion. It's about really being kind and gentle with ourselves. When, you know, obviously you've been through this huge, painful, you know, trauma and tragedy. And actually, I'm sure your husband does know that you miss him. You know, I really believe that our ancestors and our family are kind of all around us. So, I think, you know, maybe that we can come back to this confides, you know, with faith, to have the confidence that he knows that.
I think this is, excuse me, Janice, first of all, let me thank you for the question. It's a very important question because, you know, the question that I think she asked is, how do I go on? You know, for many of us, Catherine, that have had any number of what we talked about earlier, you know, these characteristics of having a spiritual awakening, a spiritual emergency, you know, we wonder some days, you know, I look at my own life, 2003, 2004, a few of those years, And, you know, I looked at my world around me. You know, my body decided it was going to take on its own journey. My relationship decided the same, so forth and so on. And some days we think, okay, how am I going to lift myself up? There are many people that are in this world and are thriving. And their question is, how do I get to the next level? You know, this idea of spiritual emergency and it being a time of spiritual awakening does have opportunity. Can you talk about these opportunities, please?
Yes, because I think, you know, that's where the positive, where the message comes from, Pat, really. And I think, you know, in terms of how we can go on and how we can get through, you know, it's really sometimes it's just literally just taking one moment at a time. You know, I know when I've been in the most painful, most challenging places, it's literally just one moment at a time. It's not even one day at a time. And I think, you know, with the mindfulness, you know, we can have the faith to know that we can just get through this moment. And then, you know, and then the next moment, and this moment, and this moment. And so the opportunities that come from this, you know, I really believe that everything happens for a reason. Even the most painful things that happen for a reason. And they happen, you know, often it's coming from a soul level. You know, it's the natural movement towards healing and growth comes from very deep within. So sometimes things happen that actually at first on the face of it just look horrendous. Yep. But actually, you know, that's you know, that's where the learning is. That's where the, you know, where the future is. And I think, you know, for somebody, you know, it depends. I mean, I was fortunate in that when I went through spiritual emergency, you know, I did have these glimpses of our true nature, you know, of our being, you know, who we really are. You know, I was able to glimpse that because I felt all the attachments to my body, personality. I just felt everything fall away, and I experienced myself at that soul level. So that, you know, I was very fortunate in that. But you know, in the book that people share their stories, there's one person called Kate who suffered with depression, absolutely crippling depression for, you know, more than 30 years on and off. And yet she got through. You know, she had a sense that this was a spiritual process. It was a process of purification and cleansing. And somehow she got through. You know, she's a phenomenally courageous woman. And so I, you know, maybe also that,
yeah,
you know, can be,
yeah,
you know, just seeing other people's courage.
Yeah.
Other people can get through.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I was struck by, and I talked about it today, I had, as I said to you, it's kind of rare that I have a half hour to just talk. You know what I'm saying? People think that, you know, I go on radio and I'm on radio a lot and that I do a lot of talking. Well, actually, I do a lot of listening is what I do. It's my style. And today I had this half hour. And for whatever reason, I think it was because I knew I was going to be speaking with you tonight, Catherine, and, you know, your book. And it really got me to think about a lot of things. I also am rereading The Life and Teaching of the Masters of the Far East. So there's a lot of things that have gotten me to think. But one of the things I talked about today was I could not think of anyone, not a single person over the past, since 2003, that I've interviewed that didn't go through the fire. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I tried to think about, you know, even the most happy, you know, even the happy, bubbly people that came on the show, even the laugh therapist that came on, everyone had this bout with adversity. And they all said the same thing, and I wanted to ask you about this. And that's why I played this Kelly Clarkson song today, because, you know, that song about if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. I grew up in a family with a stepmom that was from the South. Every day she would come out with something new, some saying, something pithy. But this thing about making it stronger was something that was embedded in all of us. And so, you know, I wanted to ask you, you know, all of these teachers, the mystics you mention in your book, the creatives you mention in your book, Carl Jung, for example, you know, what is the bottom line message from these teachers, these mystics, Jesus, Buddha? What's the message here that contributes to your platform of spiritual emergency and awakening?
Well, that basically, you know, to become an awakened being, you know, it seems to me increasingly that it's not possible unless we go through these hugely challenging periods of crisis. And so, you know, what the book is really about is that it happens on so many different levels. So yes, I have got some fantastic spiritual teachers there that I talk about, you know, and names that people know, like Eckhart Tolle and Amma, the Indian saint. Yeah. And yet it also happens on a different scale, on a different level to you know, more like everyday folk. And this is, you know, some of the people that have been sending questions in, you know, your listeners, you and I, the other people that you've interviewed on the show, Pat, you know, it's in fact, you know, we all at some point go through some difficulty. It's not possible. Mm-hmm. It's just not possible, I don't think, to get through life from when we're born to when we die without some kind of difficulty. And in a sense, we kind of need to be realistic about that. And the more we can kind of go with the flow, that the better, really. But I really, you know, I'm fascinated by these masters, absolutely fascinated by, because it seems that the crises they went through were just so extreme. You know, there's Ramana Maharishi, who had to be fed to be kept alive.
Yes.
You know, if they hadn't actually put food in his mouth when he was going through his process of awakening, then he would not have lived to be the great spiritual teacher that he was. And actually, Amma, the Indian hugging saint, you know, it was very similar for her. She was just abandoned as insane by her family. She was left to live like in the backyard, kind of just sleeping out and, you know, living like a wild animal while she was going through this huge cleansing and purification. And she is now just the most amazing woman. You know, she is an enlightened being who just gives and gives and really brings so much hope and love to the world.
And, you know, this is what I love, Catherine, about you. For those of you just tuning in, Catherine G. Lucas joining us here today. And the book is absolutely phenomenal. I want to just make sure all of you out there knows that, yeah, Amazon, you can definitely go to Amazon to get a copy in case of spiritual emergency, moving successfully through your awakening. And I love that you're talking about moving through your awakening. You know, so often in the book, you know, through the masters, through the stories, you talk about what does it mean to get back out there? What does it mean to pick oneself up? I want to ask you the question because you talk about this. What is the influence of past lives on what we're experiencing today? What is the relationship, if any, on spiritual emergency?
Well, and that's, you know, usually, I mean, on the whole, that can be quite an individual thing, but it can also be a collective thing where groups of people find themselves working together and actually they've worked together maybe in their past life and there's a collective thing happening there. But some people find material, past life material coming up, you know, especially when they're in crisis. And I mentioned Marie Moore earlier. Yeah. You know, it seems very clear to me that it was past life material trauma that was coming up for her. I've had to work through some pretty heavy duty past life material myself. And so in a sense, I can only kind of speak from personal experience, Pat. But the relationship, I think, is that where, you know, past life trauma, in a sense, you know, we can work in therapy, and, you know, and I've worked in therapy one-to-one with a therapist for a number of years, and that helped me enormously. But at the same time, you know, the sort of issues from this lifetime sometimes can just be a tip of the iceberg, because if we don't have an awareness of what we're bringing in from our previous incarnations, then yeah, I mean, it depends. You see, what I would say about past life work is that I wouldn't encourage people to just go for the hell of it, kind of rooting around. You know, what will happen if it needs addressing, if it needs healing, then it will start to come to the surface in one way or another. Sometimes people get like these flashes, and it can seem like images from a movie, just little snippets of like flashbacks of movies in the mind's eye, and that then it's time to go and seek out an expert, a professional. Mm-hmm. Can help with past life regression. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I actually interviewed someone. I think you get a little chuckle about this. I actually interviewed someone not too long ago, Sandra Ann Taylor, and about 2 minutes into the interview, she said, "You know, you're going to want to call me for a session." And I thought, okay, I may want to do that. May want to check that out. Because this is so multidimensional, and you treat this so well. One of the things I wanted to ask you, and I can't believe how quickly the time is flying, you talk about powerful emotions, and I went back and I was reading some of the books that I had read years ago. One of them is a small little book by James Allen. It's a little teeny book, and it's called As a Man Thinketh. Little teeny book. And many people talk about this book and about what he says, but very few people miss the first sentence of the book. And I wanted to share it with you because it really does get to what you're saying. He says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And many interpretations of this little teeny book leave the word heart out. That's the only time in this, how many pages this little small thing, 60 little page small book, that he mentions the heart, but he mentions it in the beginning. And I wanted to ask you about the connection to the heart and the mind and the role that emotions play, because those seem to be the ones that really get us hung up.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, Pat. You know, we live so much in our mind in the West. You know, we really are very identified with the mind, and you know, so much of our work is kind of left brain and kind of rational, logical. But actually, what happens when we go into kind of spiritual emergence and emergency is actually we move beyond the mind. Okay, we move into places, into territory that is beyond the understanding of the rational mind. And so this really, we're moving into heart territory. You know, we're moving into, and you know, even for me trying to explain it and talk about it, it's difficult because we haven't really got the language for these experiences. You know, awakening and enlightenment and you know, really fulfilling our spiritual potential does take us to places where there isn't really the language to be able to talk about it. But certainly, and it's interesting actually, because the Buddhist in the Buddhist teachings, you know, the mind and the heart are kind of much more unified. So that they almost use the word heart to mean heart and mind. Which is interesting. So yeah, you know, the heart, you know, is in a sense that's where it's at. You know, it's working through. It's the emotional stuff that we need to clear out, that we need to kind of purify and heal. And so that a lot of the work actually is emotional, really.
I wanted to ask you in relationship to that, Catherine, before we go into this conversation, take a moment again and let people know how they can find more about you, your website, and definitely, I just want to tell everybody, you're going to want to go into her blog and just take a look at the many, many just incredible things Catherine is talking about. But let's give out your website one more time.
Sure. So it's CatherineGLucas.com. So Catherine is with a C, Catherine G. Lucas, LUCAS.com. And actually you can get the book through my website or through Amazon or from the publisher, FintornPress.com.
You know, we could have spent an entire conversation, I think, on what I'm about to ask you about right now. And maybe we do. I was really struck by what you refer to as phase two, making sense of it all, the hero's journey. And there are stages in this. And the reason I'm so fascinated by this, I mean, you know, if you take a look at our pop culture right now, all of the movies here these days that are out, all of the blockbusters, the movies that are, you know, making a significant amount of money that people actually go pay to see, they all have that hero aspect to them. You know, they all have, I mean, we're making mega movies now in Hollywood about the Avengers, the Justice League, these superhero characters. Vampires, werewolves, and ghosts are getting along on the big screen. They're even going to do a remake of Wonder Woman. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about the essence of the hero's journey, because sometimes some of us regular people don't think we are heroes, don't think that we're capable.
Yeah, that's. I'm so glad you've asked that, Pat, because, you know, the truth is that we are all heroes within our own story, within our own journey, in the sense that we are at the center of our individual life. And so from that point of view, you know, we are the hero. And I use the word hero, you know, hero, heroine, it's... Mm-hmm. You know, and actually, you know, what's fascinating is that the guy whose work I came across through really powerful synchronicity is a guy called Christopher Vogler. And actually, he is a consultant for Disney films. He's worked as a consultant for them. So, you know, and he's written very authoritatively on the hero's journey. And it was just fantastic material that I found of his that I then worked with myself. And in fact, you know, the hero's journey, you know, there's a world-renowned mythologist who has been dead quite a few years now, Joseph Campbell, who really brought the hero's journey into more public awareness. And he was actually a friend and colleague of the Groffs. So this is Stanislav and Christina Groff.
Yes, I love Stan. I got the opportunity to interview him a number of years ago.
Fantastic. And of course, you know, it was Stan and Christina Groff who coined the term spiritual emergency back in the 80s. And so Joseph Campbell, this mythologist, was a friend and colleague of theirs. And they actually were the first people to kind of realize that in spiritual emergency, the hero's journey could just be so helpful because it's an archetypal model that can really apply to anybody's experience, anybody's story, whatever you've been through. The hero's journey can really help you map that journey. It can really help you map the territory and explore where you've been and kind of help you move forward. Like, where do you need to go next? And so I used it, you know, at a time when I was feeling really quite stuck. I'd been through crisis twice in 2003 and 2006. And I'd done a lot of work in terms of setting up the UK Spiritual Crisis Network, organizing conferences on spiritual emergency. You know, I really put a lot of energy into where I felt that the help was needed, and then found that actually I myself was feeling stuck. And so I worked with the hero's journey. And what I was so pleased about in the book is that rather than just presenting it as an abstract model, you know, I've really shown people how to really work with it and kind of journal with it and use it to help them.
Well, this is what I love. I mean, you know, you're talking to somebody that as a kid grew up drawing comic book characters. You know, it's kind of interesting, right? When you're a child, you know, they're usually all the boundaries are down. You know, you could sit and think you're Superman, Superwoman, whatever is out there. And there's that sense of empowerment that one has. I'm not surprised that these days what's emerged out of 3 years of financial crisis here in this country and abroad, that our blockbuster movies are so phenomenally heroic. I mean, the epitome of that is having werewolves and vampires get along. You know what I'm saying?
Mm, Yeah. And so I think I really encourage people to explore the sense in which they are the hero of their own journey. Yeah. And you know, and there are the different steps in the book. I outline the 12 key steps, and that's from kind of stepping out, starting out on the adventure, the call to adventure, to meeting mentors, the various tests and challenges that we come across, and then the reward that we bring back. You know, this is the key, is the reward. You know, what is it that we're bringing back into our everyday lives from these journeys, these struggles and challenges that we've been through? So that's just in a nutshell a little bit about the hero's journey.
So, Catherine, I have a burning question to ask you. If you had to pick an archetype to describe yourself, which one would you pick?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, that's very interesting because, you know, when I was in spiritual emergency, I had a very powerful experience of the energy of the Divine Mother. And actually, in it was very much the Christian faith that came through, despite the fact that my spiritual practice is mainly Buddhist, although I have a very interfaith, multi-faith approach, really. And so I really felt very powerfully the energy of Mary. And this is something that I also explain in the book, how the energy come through, and it can be quite confusing. You know, this is where people think that they're the reincarnation of Christ or something. I wouldn't say that I associate myself with that archetype, but I certainly, having experienced that beautiful, beautiful energy of the Divine Mother, and, you know, we see it also in Amma as well, just this unending compassion. That's certainly, those are qualities that I really aspire to bring more and more into my life.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, it has been such a pleasure and an honor to chat with you here tonight. I get asked that archetype question a lot. And, you know, I finally caved in and got the deck of Carolyn Mace's archetype cards, right?
Yeah, they're great.
They're great, right. So I get this deck of cards, a big fat deck of cards, right? And for those of you that don't know, Carolyn Mace did the archetype thing. So I couldn't decide. So my friend said, take these cards and pick the card. So I took the cards and I picked a card. And the first, and they said, you have to do this three times, three different days. Pick the card. The first card I picked the first day was the rebel archetype. I thought, all right, there we go. And I figured, oh, okay, you know, let's try another one. Some of these archetypes are really cool. You know, maybe I can get a cool one. Second day, shuffled the deck. And you know the ritual, right? Shuffled the deck. Bam. Pick the rebel archetype card. My friend says, you know what? Why don't you try that a third time? So here we are, third day, shuffle the deck. She takes them. She cuts them. She spreads them out. What card do you think I picked?
The rebel.
Unbelievable. I finally said, all right, I'm going to stick with that one.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, you know, I identify it because I love that deck of cards. And I certainly identify with the teacher and the writer. And, you know, this is the work that I'm doing is very much about, you know, writing the author and teaching and really getting the message out there. So those are archetypes very much for me. Yeah.
I love it. Catherine, thank you so much for joining me here today. It's been awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. Thank you very, very much, Pat. It's been a real pleasure.
It's amazing. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on. Janice, thank you so much for your heart-opening questions. And we learned so much. Many of the listeners learned so much from those. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on. If you've missed any part of this, the archive should be up in a couple days at thedrpatshow.com. For all of you out there, remember that this is a time of awakening. And thanks to people like my very special guest joining me here today, Catherine G. Lucas, there is an opportunity on the other side of whatever that crisis is. We'll see you next time.
Soapboxes way too high, overgrown. You can barely see the ground or touch the sky. Your high horse is taking off and left to you, nowhere to be found. Better off dead, or so you said. But don't worry, we all fall down somehow.
Someday.